Hello, and you are listening to a special one-to-one edition here of the Women's Soccer Zone podcast. JJ Duke here with you. You know, this is going to be a good one coming up here because it's interesting how these episodes come about, because sometimes these are well planned out in advance, sometimes they really come out straight out of the blue. Well, we've been hoping, and I know a fair few fans have been asking for a while, to get Abby Ersig on the show here, and it's interesting how we got that to go about, because really, great player on the field, obviously has had a great international career as well for New Zealand. Now, it's funny enough because on the day of recording, big news happened that is going to impact the football Ferns as well as New Zealand football for years to come. So I hope you all enjoy this one. And now, without further ado, here is my chat with Abby Ersig. Yes, and now currently I'm joined here with one of the key defenders for the North Carolina Courage, as well as the captain of the New Zealand football Ferns, Abby Ersig, here with me. And Abby, it's interesting, at the day of recording, maybe, 3 hours or so before we started, it was announced that New Zealand football and the New Zealand Players Professional Football Association, that is, came together to announce a new collective bargaining agreement to agree on equity and parity for both the senior men's and women's teams. When you saw this was done and dusted and announced, what was that for you?
Yeah, I was obviously involved in the process, so I've known about it for a while. We've just kind of had to keep it quiet. And I think it's exciting. I think we're the first team in the world to have the same collective bargaining agreement for both the men and the women. So that's really exciting, and it gives us a really good platform to move forward from there. I've asked for things in the past and kicked up a bit of a fuss, and I think New Zealand football has stepped forward, come to the plate with that agreement, and I think it's really positive and really exciting.
Now, the four factors that was released in this announcement was the pay parity, the equal prize money, the equal rights for image use. But the most important one that they were stressing on, and I want to hear your thoughts about this, was the parity across travel while representing New Zealand. Was it that much of a big disparity between the men's and the women's senior teams that this had to be the main factor?
Yes, it was. And I think especially because the women are traveling more often than the men. We're going to World Cups, we're going to Olympic Games every single time. So, we do a lot of travel, we do a lot of prep, and for us to not be able to get to those tournaments in the best possible shape that we can be, best physical shape that we can be, is really disheartening sometimes. So I think New Zealand football has recognised the importance in that, not only from an equality point of view, but from a performance point of view. So that's been really good for us, and hopefully will help our performance moving forward.
Now, you said you were involved with the negotiations. How long was this process?
It took a long time. A couple of really boring board meetings, sitting through that as a player. It does get a bit boring, but it's been really cool to be involved. I really know the CBA inside out. I know what we're entitled to. I know what we're not entitled to. So that's been a really good learning curve for me. And I think moving forward, I'd like to be involved in those kind of things again. So, yeah. It has boring parts, like every part of your job. You're not going to love every single piece of it, but I enjoyed the learning experience for sure.
Absolutely. One of the things that I was thinking about in the lead up to this interview is, obviously, we know a lot of senior women's national teams are going to their federations for equality, for better conditions. How much did you or your teammates talk or listen to what the other national team programs are doing, and maybe try to pick some of those players' brains to maybe help your own cause?
That's really difficult. I think the position that New Zealand are in, it's unique. We don't have a professional league like an American team or a German team. So to take, I mean, we can take their example a little bit in the fact that they are skipping out and asking for things that they want and need and deserve. But obviously, you know, New Zealand aren't number one and number two in the world. They're not getting the same pay as the women. So we do have different challenges. We've got players all over the world. We can't have players come in centrally for camps when we have a FIFA window if it'll always play overseas. So we have different challenges. So I think while we did pay attention to other teams like America and Canada and things like that, we had to kind of step in our own direction and make sure that what we were doing was right for our national team, not just, you know, taking another example from another team.
Going back a year ago, you announced in February 2017 that you were retiring, and you stated that the Football Ferns weren't valued nor adequately supported by New Zealand football. I shouldn't say how bad was the conditions at the time, but what was kind of the ticking point for you?
I think the straw that broke the camel's back was really when we got to the Olympic Games. You know, we've got players that turn up that are broke. You know, getting there is a struggle in itself. We've got players that are turning up that are anemic because they can't afford the right food. And I think when you're preparing for 4 years for this pinnacle event, it's supposed to be the top event of your playing career, to get there and not be able to perform at your best, or not have everybody in your team be able to perform at their best, was really disheartening. And we'd ask for support, even basic things like food vouchers, you know, just to get girls the nutrition that they needed heading into the Olympic Games. We just couldn't get it. And we had to dip into the pockets outside of our national organization to see if we could get some funding and get some support for those girls. So I think that was a tipping point for me. And then, you know, going to the Olympic Games, our performance wasn't the best. And again, it's just disheartening issues after disheartening issues. So, you know, it's a culmination of things. I think building up to that point, it was obviously a lot of things. It wasn't just that one event, but you get to one pinnacle event and, well, you have enough.
When you were away from the team, was there still a line of communication open between you and the teammates that were still playing for the team at that time? And I'm curious, if there was, what were you finding out?
You mean, well, after I'd left?
Yeah, that's correct. If things were improving.
Oh, yeah. So I'm part of the player association. So, you know, I had communication with some of the girls that were involved with that, making sure that things that were going on were happening in the right direction. You know, the connective bargaining agreement we obviously knew was coming up, so we wanted to make sure that I had a foot in that or a hand in that to make sure that that was going in the right direction. You know, I was talking occasionally to the players within the team, but I think once I stepped out, it was really important for me just to take a break from it, to really step back and not be so involved with the player or the team side of it so much. I was more involved with, you know, the issues surrounding the support of the team. So while there was some communication, there wasn't a lot. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, things were being put in place that were right for the girls at the time and right for the girls coming in and for the future girls coming through, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that's the main important thing, right? It's the future, and that's why a lot of these federations, in addition to your own, I should say the senior women's national teams, in addition to your own, are wanting these strides to happen, because it's not so much, obviously it is important for the current group, but it's important for the players that are going to be coming down the road. Did you guys hit every point that you wanted to when coming to this agreement?
I think so. You know, I think there's only so much you can ask for at one point. You can't change everything all in one go. If we could, that'd be great. But I think it was a little bit unrealistic to have, you know, maybe a higher pay and maybe have travel paid for. And our organization just doesn't have the money. So I think to have a couple of things touched on was great. And like I said, I think it's a good springboard moving forward to be able to ask for things in the future, or, you know, to be able to make sure that we have what we need going into pinnacle events like the Olympic Games or the World Cup. So, yeah, some things are touched on and some things we've kind of just put to the side for now, hoping to come back to it in the future.
Brilliant. Well, I know I can speak for myself and Kieran as well, and obviously a lot of fans of the game out there, they're absolutely ecstatic for you and your group that they're able to come to this, and we're looking forward to seeing what the group is going to do coming up in World Cup qualifying and hopefully getting themselves to France for next year. But moving a little bit more domestically now, we're talking about the North Carolina Courage, obviously, absolutely flying start yet again. At time of recording, 17 points from 7 matches, no losses. Why is it that this group continues to thrive year in and year out?
Yeah, I think honestly it's the culture off the field. We're such a strong team off the field. Everybody gets on. We all buy into the team mantra and the team philosophy, which I think is really important. We always establish that at the start of the year before we even start training. So I think Paul's done a really good job of bringing the group together. You know, he touched this weekend on how we can get so many people from so many different countries and different places across America to kind of all buy into this philosophy of being one team and, you know, buying into one dream. So it's been really positive for us. Obviously, our attacking force has done wonders for us. You know, we've got some great players up front that just maintain pressure on other teams. You know, it's really difficult to be under that amount of pressure for long periods of time, and eventually, you know, we get goals. We didn't this weekend, which is a little bit unfortunate, but yeah, I think our forward line's doing a great job of putting pressure on other teams.
Yeah, well, it was that 42 or 43 shot effort against Chicago. Yeah. I know that will be. How much was finishing a part of training in the early part after that?
Yeah, so we're heading into training today. We're actually calling the strikers in a little bit early to do some finishing. So, you know, it's a really early in the season. We've only played 7 games, so we have a long way to go. Obviously, the strikers, forward line and midfielders will be looking to improve on that. But, you know, I think the positive thing about that was is that we got 42 shots in the first place. So, you know, the hardest part of getting those shots done, it's just a matter of putting them away. And I think once the strikers find their groove and find their stride, you know, we'll be really flying.
Now, you talk about the pressure, and obviously something that's always been known about Paul Riley coaching style is that high pressure system. Now, last year, I had an opportunity to talk with Ashley Hatch about that, but I want to hear it from a defender's perspective. When you're seeing the two lines ahead of you, the forwards line, the midfield line, working mm-hmm. as hard as they do, how does that change the job description of a defender and kind of maybe what their role is because they see so much work being put in ahead of them?
Yeah, I think the biggest change coming in and having a forward line that can work like that is that the type of defending that we do is a lot different. We're not often set back and our defending third and, you know, organizing that way. We're a lot of transition defending. You know, if a team is going to break out, it's going to be from a set piece or something like that. So there's a lot of scrambling and a lot of just off-the-cuff defending, which we've had to get good at in the past couple of years. You know, my relationship with Abby has to be solid at the back because we're often left 2v2 or 3v2 at the back. So I think building upon that relationship for the past 2 or 3 years has been really important, and I think we're getting there. You know, obviously we want to try and improve on it every single game, and you know, we do have, obviously playing against Chicago, we do have those times where it can break down a little bit, but I think you know, having those two lines in front of us that work so hard, it makes you want to put in so much more effort because they do so much for us. They make our job so much easier at the back, and you know, we have to give a big credit to them because they really do a lot of work for the team.
And I guess that kind of attributes back to where you said how close this group is. And obviously, you know, between the Courage as well as the time that you played with the Flash before they moved there, it's been pretty much close to the same unit that's taken onto the field each of the last couple of years. Does that help make things a lot easier and brings you guys a lot closer together?
Yeah, I think so. I think Paul, like I said, has done a really good job of bringing the group together. We obviously had a really young team when I was at the New York Flash, so we've been able to keep a core group of players heading through, and he's obviously developed them to a level where we're able to start them every single game, so that's been really positive for us. And I think it does help to have the same players, you know, the same core group of players within the team. We can build relationships and, you know what works for each other and what doesn't. I think that's been really positive for us as well.
How much did it sting last year coming off of that championship match? Because obviously the team won the Shield, you know, grinded through that semifinal match, but ended up getting the winner late on. Everything looked to be going forward, and then the final hit. How much did that hurt?
You know, I think losing any game sucks, especially at this level. Players are so competitive. You want to win every single point that you can, you know, and obviously to do so well throughout the season and get to the final game is obviously a little bit disheartening. It's kind of ironic, I think, the year that we won, the year before that when we won, I don't think we deserved it as much as Washington did, and then heading into this final, I think we deserved it more, but, you know, obviously couldn't take our chances away, and I think that was what was most disheartening. You know, you have all that work behind you in the season, and then it's just that final game, that final step, you just couldn't quite convert. You know, and then looking back, obviously, it was the type of goal I think that was scored. You know, it wasn't something where we'd been completely picked apart and they just completely outdid the defense and scored a great goal. You know, it was just a bit of a confusion on that set piece, and your entire season comes down to that. But, you know, and saying that, it's just something you learn from. I don't think our team had had an event like that before. We would, you know, had to overcome adversity. That was probably the first time that we'd had something not go our way. Mm. And it just was unfortunate that it came in the final. So I think it was a really good learning experience for us. You know, we've beat two finals where we've won and one we've lost. So, you know, heading into this season, we've got that experience behind us. And I think you do have to lose sometimes to gain that experience. Like I said, it was just unfortunate that was the final game that, you know, it came for us.
Did it make the opening training session of the new season a little bit more buzzing as opposed to the past, because the group, as it's, you know, retained from last year to this year, really want to get going?
Yeah, I think, like I said, Paul does this really good job of motivating us and bringing us together. You know, I think you have that maybe in the back of your mind, but moving forward, he emphasizes a lot, you know, not to look back too much. There's nothing we can do about the game. There's nothing we can do about how we played. We have to focus on this season and worry about what we're doing this season. We've got new players. We've got new systems. You know, so we want to make sure that the past is the past, and we want to move forward, not looking back too much.
Biggest talking point to kind of wrap things up from the last seven games, or the first seven games, I should say, for the Courage, what has been the big thing that you've seen most improvement out of the team, and what's something that you guys still want to get going as we get into the middle third?
I think, you know, within the seven games, but also the accumulation of the past couple of years, I think it's just the intelligence of the players. I think having the same coach helps. You know, we've had a lot of transition. We had a new coach the first year I was there, then we've moved state, so we've had a lot of disruption. And I think this year coming in, players can be settled. We've got the same coach, we've got the same setup, and we have a little bit more knowledge around how to play and how to be within our system. So I think that's been the biggest thing. Obviously, McCall's body, you know, her intelligence level going into games is outstanding. She's had a great month, and, you know, we've obviously got Sam coming back as well, so players are learning about each other. They're learning about the game, and, you know, their knowledge of the game is just so much greater than when I first came to West New York. We're a bit of a shambles that first year. And again, I have to credit this back to Paul, because, you know, his love for the game is contagious. He has players watching games and, you know, studying games and making sure we understand systems and formations, and he wants us to understand why we're doing what we're doing, which I think is really important, so that when we're on the field, we can make decisions, and he really backs those decisions as well, which I think is important for players. If you have the confidence of your coach to make those decisions, you know, we can, and we know that we've got his support.
Absolutely. Well, Abby, thanks for taking a little bit of time to chat with us. We really appreciate it, and best of luck both at the club level as well as the Football Ferns.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Women's Soccer Zone. It's all about the players.
Well, once again, we really appreciate that Abby took some time to chat with us. You know, great insight as to what happened with the negotiations and the brand new collective bargaining agreement, as well as what is to come for both the Football Ferns as well as the North Carolina Courage as they head to try and reclaim the NWSL championship that they won in 2016 with then the Western New York Flash. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you very much for tuning into the special one-to-one edition of Women's Soccer Zone. Again, if you have any questions or you have anything you want us to chat about in our upcoming episodes, give us a shout at wosozone@gmail.com, as well as on social media at wosozone. Thanks for tuning in. JJ Duke signing off, and until next time, goodbye for now.